Hi, this is Daniel Garb of the Movies for CulturalMining.com and CIUT 89.5 FM. Mountains can grow out of molehills. So this week I'm looking at three movies, a disaster, a family drama, and a comedy with kids about minors facing major difficulties. We got three tweens caught in adult-type problems, coal miners caught in a disaster, and a woman who works with orphans in India facing major problems back in New York. After the Wedding, written and directed by Bart Freundlich. Isabel, played by Michelle Williams, is an American woman grudgingly back in New York for the first time in decades. She fled the country as a teen after an unplanned pregnancy and has lived in India ever since. She works at an orphanage in Tamil Nadu, raising the kids there, including Jai, a little boy she found abandoned on a street corner. But she's forced to travel to the States for the sake of the kids to secure a large donation to the orphanage. The donor insists she come, not anyone else. Teresa, played by Julianne Moore, is a ruthless media magnate, preparing to sell all her assets and retire. She wants to donate to various charities, including the orphanage. But when she meets Isabel, she says she'll only confirm the donation after her daughter Grace's wedding. The daughter's played by Abby Quinn. So Isabel must attend. But she's in for a shock. Turns out the father of the bride is Oscar, played by Billy Crudup, Isabel's teenage boyfriend and the father of their unwanted child they put up for adoption so many years ago. He's why she moved to India in the first place, to erase her past and start again. And he seems as shocked as she is to see her. Is this just a coincidence? Could this bride, his daughter, possibly be the baby she gave birth to and gave up for adoption? And if Teresa finds out that Isabel and Oscar were once lovers, will she cancel all the money that the orphanage needs so badly? Okay, After the Wedding is a remake of Danish director Susanne Bier's film from 2006. I've never seen the original, but I'm told in the original, the Isabel and Teresa characters are male roles, with Oscar as a female role. This switch seems to work. And I also found the continuous revelations fascinating. I want to know what's going to happen all the way to the very end. That said, though, the script was so clunky, it seemed at times like it was written using Google Translate. William's main emotion seemed to be being pissed off or perturbed, and the whole film felt like it was 30 minutes longer than it should have been. I didn't love it, but I didn't hate it either. It has a good story, bad script, great actors, but roles that don't put them at the top of their game here. Mine 9, written and directed by Eddie Mensor. Okay, it's a mining town in West Virginia. The coal mine is the only steady employer there, but it's also a dangerous place. Some of the old-timers, like Kenny, Daniel, and John, played by Mark Ashworth, Kevin Sizemore, and Clint James, respectively, have lived most of their lives underground. The black dust is ground into their skin and their beards. They don't like it, but it's their livelihood and their only source of income and health insurance. But when they narrowly escape a methane leak, they wonder, is it safe to go back down mine number 9? And with no outside foreman or rescue team, if there's an accident, who's going to save them? But management insists, go down. So down they go, along with Ryan, played by Drew Starkey, a newbie fresh out of high school. It's his first time in a mine, though his family's been mining for centuries. Things seem to be going okay until a short circuit leads to an explosion and a collapse. The mine's filled with poisonous gas and only an hour's worth of oxygen left. They have to battle fire, rushing water, smoke, dust, methane gas, and collapsing tunnels all around them. It's up to Zeke, played by Terry Serpico, their dependable leader, to bring them to safety. Who will escape and who will be left? 2 miles down. My Nine is an indie action disaster movie about West Virginia coal miners. It does have a realistic, gritty feel to it, capturing the dirt, the darkness, and the claustrophobia of coal mining, along with the excitement of what they're trying to do to escape. Unfortunately, the movie's also full of problems, both big and small. Okay, I get why they have to wear gas masks to breathe and hard hats for safety, but how are you supposed to care for the characters when you can't see their faces for a whole lot of the movie? And seriously, do miners really break into miner songs every time they go underground? Their names aren't Sneezy, Dopey, and Doc here. Still, if you're in the mood for a short trip into a deep coal mine, you might want to look at Mine 9. Good Boys, co-written and directed by Gene Stupnitsky. Max, Lucas, and Thor are the Beanbag Boys, three best friends in grade, and they're grade sixers. They're a team that does everything together. Thor, played by Brady Noon, pierces an ear to be cool, but he's labeled Sippy Cup by the popular kids for not trying beer. Lucas, played by Keith L. Williams, is a God-fearing boy who cannot tell a lie, but his beliefs are shaken when his parents announce their divorce. And then there's Max, played by Jacob Tremblay. He's a lover, not a fighter, and he's crushing on a girl from lunchroom who he's never actually met. But when Max is invited to a kissing party, he realizes he has to know how to kiss before he goes. The foul-mouthed boys can say the dirty words, but they don't know how to do it. They can't ask their parents, and they find internet porn too disgusting to look at. So they concoct a plan. They're going to spy on Hannah, played by Molly Gordon, the much older girl next door, as she makes out with her drug dealer frat boy boyfriend. But how? Using Max's dad's drone, something that Max is forbidden to even touch. But when they're caught in the act, Hannah and her friend Lily, played by Midori Francis, seize the drone, and the boys steal her purse in turn. But the purse contains a sample of MDMA, that's ecstasy, that the women plan to take that night. So can the three boys escape the pursuers and rescue the drone? Can Max kiss the girl he thinks he loves? Or will all the big problems the boys are facing destroy their unbreakable friendship? Good Boys is a absolutely hilarious coming-of-age comedy about extremely naive kids encountering adult situations for the first time, things like drugs and sex, but always from a child's perspective. The laughs are constant with very few misses. A lot of the humor rests on the belief that these kids are so sheltered they've never seen or encountered anything actually adult, like Thor's parents' sex toys, which they interpret as weapons or jewelry. Tasting a beer, they think, will turn you into an alcoholic. And they've heard the grown-up words, but they don't really know what they mean. Nymphomania means having sex both on land and at sea. Misogyny means giving massages. So the three main kids are really funny, especially Tremblay, who was in the very serious movie Room a few years ago. But so are all the other roles. So are all the other kids. It's just all around really funny. And despite the fact it's being marketed as an R-rated movie, aside from the foul language, it's not outrageously offensive, nor does it show disgusting things. It's just 11-year-old kids being very funny. After the Wedding, My Nine, and Good Boys all open today in Toronto. Check your local listings. This is Daniel Garber, the Movies, each Friday morning on CIUT 89.5 FM and on my website, culturalmining.com.